Good afternoon, or good evening, everyone. Today is October 26th, 8:55 p.m. Central Standard Time in Southwest Arkansas. Welcome to Recovery Tools and Challenges podcast. My name is Angela, and my claim date is July 2nd, 2019. Today, I'm going to read an article that I got about overcoming resentment. Strong emotional memories are a main driver of addiction. Learning how to identify and purge them is essential to recovery. Resentments pose considerable problems on the path of recovery. In the AA Big Book, they're listed as the number one offender and a luxury that the recovering person cannot afford to carry. I believe this is part of the core emotional work in recovery, to purge these long-standing emotional concerns. To help, I'll offer a working definition of resentments, provide categories, it gives some insight into how to work on them. Sorry. Resentments is actually a much broader term than we might initially consider. The word itself is made up of three parts: prefix, re, verb, sent, and suffix, meant. Taking the suffix first, meant typically refers to a state of being applicable to the preceding verb. Treatment is the state of being treated. Containment is the state of being contained. Banishment is the state of being banished, and so on. The prefix re, simply re, simply means a returning or bringing back. Revive means essentially to relive or to bring back to life. Vive is a form of the French word Bavir, which means to live. A revival can be a physical or medical comeback, or it can refer to the return of a type of music, fashion, etc. Another example, remember means to bring something back into your mind. The origin of the word is from Latin, arriving in English through French. So we are left with scent, which is not the same as the way we commonly use it in English, such as I sent a check in the mail, or I sent someone to the store. The scent we are focusing on comes from Latin, from a verb meaning to feel. So, resentment for our purpose means a returning to a state of feeling. This definition is fairly broad. People usually associate resentments with anger, but my definition, this would include a wide array of feelings. Resentments are housed in our emotional memory, especially in addiction. These can be memories we attempt to drown out through our use. Every human being has resentments across their lifetimes. We are conscience-thinking creatures who, by our very nature, contemplate both the past and the future. I think resentments in their purest form are meant to inform us about important events that affect our values. Resentments are housed in our emotional memories. Those are often the strongest memories we have and some of our earliest. Remembering is a byproduct of consciousness, and sometimes we remember experiences we rather forget, especially in addiction. This can be memories that we attempt to drown out through our use. Two types of resentments. It's important to make some distinctions about resentments. At the simplest level, I can place them into two basic categories: root and survivorship. Root resentments are the most common. They're typically relational and they're pertinent in that they need to be resolved in order to strengthen recovery. When I say relational, I mean they're directed at someone, a family member, an employer, a neighbor, a judge, etc. That can also include the self as well as God. Survivorship resentments are also interpersonal, but they involve a vast power differential. Typically, we would associate these with traumas such as sexual assault, physical and psychological abuse, trafficking, or child abuse. Much clinical work is done in the non-addicted population to resolve survivorship resentments. Now, here are some things about root resentments. Frequently in recovery, people have resentments in both camps. The reason I place them in categories is that the strategies vary depending on the type of resentments. In terms of root resentments, and this is what I think the AA book refers to, just my opinion, it's crucial to examine the interpersonal dynamics at the core of the resentment. The questions to ask are, when I think about this resentment, what was my responsibility in it? When I tell this story, what part am I leaving out? What part did I play? How might my addictive actions help bring this about? And perhaps most importantly, what use is it continue holding on to this? The last question is important because root resentments have addictive utility. That means we can use these to justify other actions. They can become the backup plan so that if there isn't any other reason to drink or use, you can pull up a resentment, and there is your rationale. This is part of what makes resentment so dangerous. Addictive utility is always there. Resentments are like having a little notepad in your pocket that tells you all the reasons you should or deserve to use. You don't notice it all the time, but the list is there. The other facet of root resentments is that often they involve. What happens typically over time is that a root resentment grows and becomes more self-centered, meaning there is less responsibility remembered on our part and more blame toward the offender. Root resentments often transform the truth of the situation, that both parties had some responsibility in the way events unfolded, to one of passivity without active response or resistance, where we had no responsibility and the offender is entirely to blame. These are also long-lasting. I have met with numerous people who, when I asked about the nature of a resentment, for example, what happened between you and X, that there is such animosity, can't even recall, to my surprise, and often theirs. The feelings persist, but the facets around it are lost or vague at best. What are resentments in a nutshell? I sometimes use this analogy. In AA, people carry coins, and in NA, they get the keychain tags. These are tangible little reminders of all the reasons we have to stay sober and of the progress we have made. Resentments and contrasts are like having a little notepad in your pocket that tells you all the reasons you should or deserve to use. Many of them revolve around self-pity. You don't notice it all the time, but the list is still there. And I know, I think I repeated that twice, and I'm very sorry. Survivorship resentments. Now, to survivorship resentments, I give these their own category, as they're of 10 staples of what is worked on in therapy, both for people with substance use disorder and for those without. In cases of abuse, neglect, rape, exploitation, etc., we don't ever take the stance we would in dealing with root resentment, such as approach would essentially be victim blaming. When we're talking about survivorship resentments, we're essentially talking about trauma. A therapist can tell you that often what sustains these resentments, particularly the ones aimed at the self, is self-blame. It's very normal for survivors of trauma to assume they might have had the power to change the events. If only I had, or I should have just. Part of the healing from this kind of trauma is to purge that sense of self-blame. What makes that so hard, you might ask? The simple answer: people do not like to feel powerless. And yet life often results in such a feeling in every painful and very painful ways. Part of the work in survivorship resentments is to try to come to that reckoning, which is both gut-wrenching and eventually liberating. The good news is that many therapists are trained in what is now called trauma-informed care and can help with this. I will make a fairly bold statement here. The longer a person holds on to resentments without working on them, the lower their quality of sobriety and life will be, and the higher the risk of relapse they will carry. It helps to think about a pie chart of emotional memory. What percentage of it is full of resentments? The goal for ongoing recovery is always to reduce this percentage. The danger of war stories. One other tidbit about types of resentments. Remember, I defined a resentment as a returning to a state of feeling. So far, we have generally talked about negative emotions, anger, hurt, guilt, shame, pain, sadness, fear. But what about joy? Can you have resentments that are joyful? The answer is yes, and here's how that manifests itself. In treatment, we call these war stories, and the approach is that you should not tell them. A war story is essentially a memory that glorifies drug use experiences. They are often strange tales that usually have some entertainment value. In all honesty, some of the funniest stories I ever heard were war stories. But in early recovery, these can be detrimental. They function just like a resentment. In telling the war story, the person only talks about the excitement of the experience that we refer to clinically as you euphoric recall or the unsuspected twist. Often in early recovery, what is left out of war stories are the painful consequences. They're missing because the addictive utility in a war story ignores the overarching consequences of loss of family, friends, jobs, freedom. That's why we discourage war stories in early recovery. They unfairly paint addiction in a light that ignores its basic destructive nature. How to work on resentments. I have a friend who was trained in an era in which experimental therapy was used a lot. But in no way have therapy or the 12-step programs cornered the market on working on resentments. They are a human problem and have existed throughout the ages. Religious and spiritual traditions often have effective ways to work on them. My basic stance is that an individual must come to terms with the truth that is in the resentment. That is also part of what I refer to as the genius psychology of the 12-step programs. I don't think anyone who gets into recovery has just one resentment. I would say they easily number in the dozens, maybe in the hundreds, depending on the case. The strategy, which is also seen in qualitative research, is to focus not on the instance, but the pattern. What is the common denominator across resentments? There may be several themes, and that is okay. The fourth step essentially asks a person to look at this, and the purpose of step five is to get another pair of eyes on the data. Part of working on a resentment is fully understanding it. Once we understand the basic nature of a resentment, we can begin to work out and let it go. Sometimes that's characterized as turning it over to a higher power. The action in working on a resentment is to cultivate awareness of its nature, and with that awareness, change the ways you respond or act in the here and now. And I can assure you, it takes a bit of practice before it gets easier. The cost of resentments. One last point. Resentments eat up a lot of a person's emotional and psychological energy. You only have so much spare space for feelings once you're full. Something has to go for something else to come in. Most feelings fade over time. Some quickly, others slowly. Resentments can consume both space and time, and when a person is surrounded by them, they don't see how affected they are. One of the reasons my therapist named this common types of resentments root resentments is that they're like an emotional weed. They strangle our emotional energies, and they'll keep popping up until they're dealt with at the root. If you only treat them on the surface, they're bound to crop up again. One of my therapist's favorite cases was about a guy named Jim. He was a commercial airline mechanic and an alcoholic in the 1960s and 70s. He talked about the resentments he had toward his boss regarding company policies, getting passed over for promotion, and so on. Jim worked really hard when he got into recovery, and he eventually told his story after he had completed his 9th step. He made an appointment with his boss to talk about his resentments and make amends for his behavior. In the meeting, he went on for 10 minutes about all the grudges he'd held and how regretful he was that he worked so many years in this condition. At the end, he asked if there was anything he could do to make things right. His boss looked at him and simply replied, "Heck, Jim, I didn't even know you were mad." By working through your resentments, you both decrease their addictive utility and open your emotional world to new experiences. This was a lesson in a new level of awareness for Jim, and his story has stayed with my therapist throughout her career. He said he came away from that just kind of stunned. He's lived and drank for years over these perceived slights and the sense of unfairness, but at the end of the day, he was the one who suffered. Jim explained it best to my therapist, if you haven't heard this before, I'm now passing it on to you. Having a resentment, he said, is like me drinking poison, hoping that you die from it. Last but not least, from resentment to freedom and happiness. If you are in recovery, working through your resentments is a top priority. By doing this, you both decrease the addictive utility and open your emotional world to new experiences. People can feel trapped in a cycle of feeling a certain way, miserable, frustrated, or as the big book mentions, restless, irritable, and discontented. In the 12-step program, step 4 is meant to help a recovering person quickly come to terms with how many resentments are carrying around and to begin to purge those in the following 8 steps. As a person in long-term recovery, I can tell you something about resentments. If you're diligent about purging them, and you develop a practice of accruing new ones in time, you'll notice a change. Over time, it will become harder and harder to hold a resentment. They just take up too much time and energy. It's very much like how you don't know how good sobriety can feel until you've been that way for a while. I'd say about 6 months at least. But this process takes hard work, and I think it helps to have a lot of social, sober support while working on resentments. The payoff is even mentioned in the AA basic text, and it's the first of the 12 promises. You will know a new freedom and a new happiness. We might even argue that in healthy recovery, you become resentment intolerant over time. It doesn't mean that an issue might not get under your skin from time to time. That happens to me still, but you will be in a place where you have both the knowledge and the tools to effectively work on those issues and live resentment free. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed. Please look me up on Facebook at hashtag WasAAddict, and thank you once again for listening to this podcast, Overcoming Resentments. I hope everyone has a great evening, and God bless.